Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Thursday, September 5th. What to know today about Hurricane Dorian, cuts to military projects, and changes to rules about light bulbs. Plus, YouTube pays a record-setting fine, a new luxury electric car, and what's a dumb phone? Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview, where we answer the question, will there be a recession? Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Yes, we're talking about Hurricane Dorian again because it got stronger. As of early this morning, the Weather Channel says Dorian is a Category 3 major hurricane again. Florida was spared from the worst of the storm, but there's still a threat along the southeast coastline. And now Georgia and the Carolinas will feel more of an impact today and tomorrow. The National Hurricane Center says it'll bring damaging winds, flooding rains, and life-threatening storm surges. There's still even a chance it could make landfall in North Carolina tomorrow. And if it does, it would be the first Category 3 storm to hit there since the 90s. Either way, the entire southeast, from Florida to Virginia, can expect bad weather for the rest of the week. And a quick update from the Bahamas, it's still a mess. Homes and buildings there are smashed and flooded out. The people who live in the hardest hit areas don't have basic things like food and water, let alone medical care. Remember, Dorian hit the islands as a Category 5 storm over the weekend, killing at least 20 people. And now because the airport is flooded, relief workers are still having a tough time bringing supplies in. So if you do want to help, we'll link to an article in today's show notes with some of the best places to donate. By the way, Dorian is not the only storm forecasters are keeping an eye on. CBS News reports there's a tropical storm in the Gulf of Mexico that could bring a foot of rain, mudslides, and flash flooding to Mexico's coast. Meteorologists are also keeping an eye on a different tropical storm in the middle of the Atlantic for now. President Trump is redirecting billions of dollars from military projects to help build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. NPR reports $3.6 billion that was supposed to be used on things like military schools, target ranges, and maintenance facilities could now be used to build 175 miles of fencing along the southwest border. It means military projects in 23 states, 19 countries, and 3 U.S. territories that were supposed to start next year or later are now on hold. Politico reports New York is one of the hardest hit, and in Puerto Rico, it cuts more than $400 million worth of projects to help rebuild after the damage from Hurricane Maria in 2017. The Trump administration says this is needed for a national crisis at the border, and officials say they're working with Congress to backfill the funding. But some lawmakers are not happy about it. One Democratic senator called the move a, quote, unconstitutional money grab. Republican Senator Mitt Romney said this is, quote, undermining military readiness. But others say it's worth it, and there are ways to secure the border and protect the military. New rules requiring more efficient light bulbs in the U.S. were supposed to go into effect in January, but not anymore. The Washington Post reports the Trump administration is rolling back some of those planned regulations. The Energy Department says the change will make sure consumers have more choices and are not required to buy more expensive light bulbs. But critics say the reversal will lead to billions of dollars in higher energy costs each year, and it'll add more greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming. Also of note, 10 Democratic candidates for president took part in a town hall about climate change last night. They revealed their proposals to address the threat to Earth. You can read more about what each of them said in today's show notes. British lawmakers are blocking a no-deal Brexit. That basically means the UK cannot leave the European Union without a plan on how they're going to do it. The New York Times reports this is a big setback for Britain's new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. He was ready to let Britain crash out of the EU without a plan, but lawmakers have voted not to allow it. On top of that, they said Johnson cannot call an early general election in mid-October. The Prime Minister had wanted a last-minute election, likely to get a new parliament to work with. Current lawmakers agree on very little when it comes to Brexit, so they've been sort of stuck about what to do and when. For now, the UK has until October 31st to come up with a deal. If lawmakers cannot find a compromise, the UK might have to ask the EU for yet another deadline extension. To be continued. YouTube was just hit with a $170 million fine from the FTC for illegally collecting data on kids. CNET reports this is the largest penalty ever for violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, which says companies cannot collect personal data from kids younger than 13. So YouTube will pay most of the money to the FTC and some to the state of New York. But critics say it's not nearly enough of a fine. Google owns YouTube, and it takes Google about 2 days to make that $170 million. At the same time, YouTube says it's going to make some changes to its site. The Wall Street Journal reports it will switch off comments, personalized ads, and notifications on children's videos, and it will stop collecting data on videos meant for kids. Plus, channels that post videos meant for kids and don't mark them that way could face their own fines from the FTC. The changes all start in January. Did you know pet cloning is a thing? It's illegal in some countries, but others, like South Korea and here in the U.S., allow it. In fact, actress Barbara Streisand has famously said two of her dogs are cloned. Well, now China is joining the list of countries known in the pet cloning market. The first cloned cat in China was announced. Its name is Garlic. The New York Times reports scientists implanted skin cells from someone's cat who had died into eggs harvested from other cats. And after a chemical shock, embryos were cloned, then implanted into surrogate cats. The Chinese company has already cloned dogs and says it's now working on cloning a horse and even hopes to clone endangered animals one day. Critics call pet cloning inhumane, but many people around the world take part. And we have several more stories still ahead, but first let's take a quick break to thank this week's sponsor. With MM LaFleur, you can stop wasting time and decision-making energy shopping for the perfect work clothes or standing in your closet in the morning rush trying to figure out what to wear to the office. MM LaFleur makes it easy with thoughtful, versatile, and stylish clothing all from one place. Their collection features machine washable fabrics, adjustable hems, deep pockets, and suits that are designed to be packable. And if you're not sure what to choose, their award-winning newsletter includes styling tips and career advice in one. And you can reach out to the company's stylist to help you create your ideal work wardrobe anytime. Their goal is to take the work out of dressing for work. And right now, new customers can get $25 toward their first purchase with the code NEWSWORTHY. Just visit mmlaflour.com/newsworthy for more details and to get that $25 gift. That's mmlaflour.com, mmlaflour.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. The 100th NFL season is here. Football starts tonight with the Green Bay Packers up against the Chicago Bears. And of course, there will be many more games this weekend. CBS Sports is making the bold prediction that the Chiefs and Vikings will be in the Super Bowl. We'll have to wait and see. And by the way, CBS Chicago reports the NFL will hold a kickoff experience in Grant Park today. Fans can catch performances by Meghan Trainor, Meek Mill, and Rhapsody. In fact, Variety says the concert is connected to a good cause. Roc Nation and the NFL will also donate $400,000 to two Chicago charities that help at-risk youth. It's the first in a concert series that rapper Jay-Z announced as part of his new partnership with the NFL. Porsche revealed its first all-electric car. The Verge says the car maker has been teasing it for years, but finally showed it off to the public yesterday. It's called the Taycan, and there are two versions, the Turbo and the Turbo S. It's meant to be an electric car that can still hang with the fastest cars on the market. We're talking about luxury sports cars here because the price tag starts at more than $150,000. It hits the road later this year. It's called the Light Phone 2, but it's known as the Dumb Phone because, well, there's nothing smart about it. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles that smartphones have, Business Insider says. The Light Phone 2 is designed to be simple. You can only use it for three things: to make calls, send texts, and set alarms. It does not have apps on purpose, so no sending emails, looking on social media, or playing music. So what's the point? It's supposed to help us put our phones down and stop what it calls smartphone addictions. Engadget says the phone will cost about $350. The popular series on Hulu, The Handmaid's Tale, may be getting a new storyline. Entertainment Weekly says the author of The Handmaid's Tale book is coming out with the sequel in a new book called The Testaments. The book comes out next week, and already MGM and Hulu are working on a screen project for it. The Testaments is set 15 years after The Handmaid's Tale ends, so Hulu is working to figure out the best way to incorporate that new material. It's not clear yet if it will be part of a current Hulu series or if it will be a separate show. For now, the book comes out Tuesday. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about a question that's been in the news a lot lately. Is a recession near? Well, my guest today helps break down what hundreds of economists believe and why, and she even mentions how the so-called Amazon effect is impacting the economy right now. Megan Green has an impressive resume, I can't list it all, but she's on the board of directors of the National Association for Business Economists, known as NABE. And you'll hear us talk about a nonpartisan survey NABE took involving economists from all different industries. Green is also a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School, and she writes a monthly column on global economics for the Financial Times. So here's my conversation with Megan Green about what's happening with the economy now and what to expect in the near future. Hi, Megan. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So what would you say is the big takeaway about the economy right now?
So I think the biggest takeaway is probably expectations for a recession. So they've been pushed back a little bit since the last time that NABE ran the survey in February. 40% of members or of respondents expect a recession to hit by the end of next year. So the good news is only 2% expect a recession this year, but another 38% expect it in 2020, and then a further 31% expect a recession in 2021. So the vast majority of respondents actually think our economy will contract by the end of 2021. That's the big takeaway message.
So let's talk a little bit more about expectations for a recession within the next couple of years. It seems to be the consensus. What signs are these economists looking at?
When we're looking at the data in the economy, you really see a bifurcated story. So there's one story that looks at business investment and the business sector, and that's shown a real slowdown over the past 6 months in particular. So that shows that businesses aren't really investing. And anecdotally, what we hear is that a lot of the reason that investment has dropped off is because of all this uncertainty around trade. So businesses aren't cutting back necessarily, but they're not leaning in and investing. Now, the other story, so you have this one story that says that business investment's looking pretty bad. The other story is what's happening with the U.S. consumer. And the U.S. consumer continues to look pretty strong, actually. If we're going to get a recession in the U.S., it's going to have to be transmitted through the consumer. And so far, it doesn't look like that's happening. So the labor market still really looks strong. Consumer confidence has fallen a little bit recently, but is, you know, relative to history, still pretty high. So the consumer's still looking pretty good. The thing is that when you do go into a recession, the consumer's often the last one to respond.
Let's talk just a little bit more about the trade war to make sure people really understand how this impacts the economy. China and the U.S., the world's two largest economies, keep putting tariffs on each other's goods. So tell us how that ultimately could impact businesses and then the consumer.
Sure. So we live in this really globalized world where often goods go through a number of different countries before they're fully put together and end up being sold to the consumer. So if we're going to go ahead and impose tariffs on one another, that means that every time those goods cross borders, they end up, you know, having a tariff associated with them and the costs increase. And so as a result, to try to get around these tariffs, a lot of companies are trying to change their supply chain. So we're seeing a total rewriting of the rules of how businesses can operate. And so as long as we don't know what the new rules look like, it's really hard for businesses to know what to do. So, you know, a world, you know, with the liberal rules that we were living in, where globalization was considered good and protectionism was considered bad, businesses knew how to operate in that order. Even a world where, you know, we turn it upside down and everybody decides protectionism is good and globalization is bad, businesses could adopt to those rules as well. But we're sort of stuck in this middle ground where we're kind of shifting from one to the other. And so no one really knows what the rules are. And as long as there's that kind of uncertainty, businesses don't really know what kind of long-term plans they should be making. And as a result, they're not leaning in to growth and going ahead and investing a bunch and hiring a load of people. And I think it's the hiring side is sort of one way that this could be transmitted through the consumer. So if businesses decide there's all this uncertainty and they can't hire a lot of people, then you start to see the labor market showing worse and worse data. People might get laid off. That will hit a lot of pockets. And then consumer confidence will drop and people will stop spending. So that's one way that these headlines on trade and the implications for businesses could really affect the consumer and could pitch us into a recession.
Is it correct that eventually, if the tariffs remain in place, that some of those higher prices that businesses will ultimately have to pay could be passed on to the consumer at the end product?
So that's traditionally how it usually works, that tariffs end up just being a tax on the consumer. So businesses, as they're having to pay higher costs in their production, they just pass those higher costs right on to the end user by raising their prices. We haven't seen that much of that so far in this trade war, and I think that's probably down to the Amazon effect, essentially. So businesses are having to compete with the likes of Amazon and Walmart, and they're these big companies that dominate a ton of the market, and they can keep their prices low. And so firms feel like if they hike prices to pass costs on to the end user, they'll lose market share and won't be able to compete anymore. So a lot of companies have been hesitant to do that. And as a result, the higher input costs have just been eating into their margins. And that makes it much harder for companies to go ahead and invest and hire.
So there's also a lot of talk about interest rate cuts. President Trump wants to see them cut further. Others say it's not needed. Should we really expect another one this year? And how does that really impact the economy?
I think they're going to end up cutting rates because they sort of have to respond to what's going on in other parts of the economy. But I actually don't think cutting rates is going to help a whole lot. And the idea normally is that if you cut rates, then you boost growth, you boost inflation. But we've had really low rates for this entire recovery. And when you talk to businesses, you find actually borrowing costs aren't really a constraint on activity. So are lower rates really going to help? Probably not. And it's a real risk for two reasons. First of all, if the Fed cuts rates now, when we do have a recession, it won't have as much room to cut then when we really need it. So that's one risk. The second one is that if the Fed cuts rates now, and if I'm right, and it doesn't actually really boost inflation and growth, then the next time around when we are in recession and the Fed cuts rates, no one will believe it will work and the Fed won't have any credibility. And that's not just my opinion. That was backed up by respondents as well.
How tough can it be to try and predict what happens in an economy, especially an uncertain economy?
So it's really difficult. We can look at, structural factors, and those tend to change less frequently. But when you have policy being announced on Twitter generally every day, it's really hard to keep up and to figure out what exactly is noise and what's political posturing and what will actually be implemented. So I do think it's gotten much more difficult to forecast these days than it was even just a couple years ago.
And you can read more about this topic and our guest in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and look for today's date. That's also where you'll find the sources and links to all the stories we talked about in this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and a big shout out to the Newsworthy Insiders for supporting the show. I so appreciate you. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday, so we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.